Amen. Amen. Give God a praise clap today. He's an awesome God. Thank you, Praise Band, for leading us this morning as we connect with Jesus Christ. I want you to do something this morning. I want you to do something a little different, but I felt kind of led to do this. I want you to just look at your neighbor next to you. I want you to look at your neighbor, and I just want you to say, Jesus loves you this morning to your neighbor. You know, as we say that, some people, you know, we laugh whenever we do that and that sort of thing, but some people need to hear that today. Somebody needed to hear that they're loved, that they're not an accident, that they are here on purpose. Somebody needs to know that God cares for you, that people care for you. And Life Community is striving to be a church that loves God and that helps people to love God and to love people by helping them live for Christ and then learn from Christ and to love Jesus Christ. As we begin today a new series, and Eric, go ahead and throw the title slide up there. As we begin a new series today called Growth God's Way, Growth God's Way, I just want to tell you something real quick that we are beginning in a few weeks something monumental for our church, monumental. We are a church that's only 10 months old. We're a baby church. But God is doing a great thing and a great work in our church. But we feel led of the Lord to do something really big in the next few weeks. On September, mid-September, we're going to begin a new campaign. And you heard Sam talk about it. And some of you guys are still thinking, well, what is all this campaign stuff about? What are you talking about? Well, we're going to begin a church-wide effort, a church-wide group effort to grow close to Jesus Christ. All of us together to get closer and to grow closer to God than we ever have been. And we're going to be studying an amazing topic, and we got a poster up here called What on Earth Am I Here For? And when that begins, it's going to be really cool. The sermons will be all about why God put you on earth. The life groups will be all about why God put you on earth. And you'll be reading a little book every day that goes along with that of why God put you on earth. And what we're going to be trying to communicate is that God really has something for you. And you're not an accident. You're not a mistake. And He's got something for you. And we're going to lead the whole church to do this. The whole church to do this together as a team. And to grow together. To grow God's way. And as I was sitting there thinking, leading up to our campaign, leading up to that. And you know, we have goals. You know, we're going to have a high attendance goal of 200 on Sunday morning. We're going to have a life group goal of getting 80 adults in life groups. And that is amazing. And that's awesome. But as we begin and we go down that road, I just felt really led of the Lord to help us to understand growth. So over the next few weeks as we lead up to the campaign, imagine this sermon series as the pre-campaign sermon series. Imagine this as getting us ready for what's coming. Imagine this as getting us ready. Because when we start talking about growth, there's really weird ideas about growth. There's really some strange ideas. People get nervous about church growth. They get nervous about personal growth. Because in all honesty, growth is taking you from one place, from where you are, to the next place. And maybe even the place beyond that. Now, it shouldn't surprise us that God likes growth. Now, did you know that? Last night, I was holding my little one, and she is 3 months old, holding my little one. And then our other little one, who is 3 years old, fell asleep on the couch. And so we had to brush teeth, we had to do all that. So I'd been holding my other little one, my three-month-old, earlier in the day, and then my three-year-old was asleep on the couch. So I scooped her up to take her into the bathroom, you know, to brush her teeth and all that fun stuff. And I noticed something. As I scooped her up, her head was way over here, and her legs were way over here. And I thought to myself, when did this happen? 2 years ago, she was my little peanut, you know? So what happens? And I was telling William about this. He said, just wait. He told me that this morning. He said, just wait. You'll blink their eyes, and they'll be graduating in the next blink. And I thought about that. I said, no, don't tell me that. We want her to stay the same size. We want her to stay small. We want her to be small. The other day, she walked up to her mom, and she said, Mommy, why does Daddy want me to stay small? You know? And she asked that, and you know, and Taryn answered the best that she could. But here's the truth. God has hardwired growth into every aspect of life. Think about it. The reason we're able to eat is because some farmer planted some seed that grew, that produced fruit or produced vegetables, or some cow was born or some chicken was born and an egg, and the chicken hatched from the egg and it grew bigger. And then we slaughtered the chicken, we ate the chicken, we slaughtered the cow, we eat the cow, we pick the vegetables, the fruit, we eat that. Why? Because growth is hardwired into everything. You know, when a baby's born, we celebrate that this cute little pumpkin is coming into the world. But here's the reality. If it stayed that cute little pumpkin for 20 years, it stayed the same size, would that be a cause for rejoicing or sorrow? Sorrow. You wouldn't want your child to stay the same size. No, even though it hurts us on the inside to see them get bigger. But you don't. You want them to grow, because growth is hardwired into every aspect of life. It is hardwired into every aspect. Trees grow, plants grow, animals grow, people grow, churches grow. So as we get ready for the campaign, we're going to talk about growth. And by the way, God's all about growth. He's all about growth. Remember, what did he tell Adam and Eve? One of the very first commands, be fruitful and what? Multiply. Hallelujah. Amen, right? Be fruitful and multiply. God's all about growth. He's all about expansion. But when we start talking about growth, and over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about church growth, we're going to talk about personal growth, we're going to talk about community growth, and all kinds of things like that leading up to the campaign. But as we talk about that, it's really important for us to know, what is growth? What is God's way of growing? So if you got your program with you, flip it on the back, and there's the notes and the scriptures there on the back, and we're going to have a lot of scripture today. There's a lot of Bible verses today that we're looking at. But our main text comes from 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 6. And Paul, who we talked about in our last sermon series, is writing this, and he says this. He says, what then is Apollos? And what is Paul? They are servants through whom you believed, and each has the role the Lord has given. I planted, Apollos watered, and read this part with me out loud if you would, but God gave the growth. Paul, the great church planter, went into Corinth. He planted, he preached, people got saved. He assimilated them into a church family. Apollos was another buddy of Paul. And Apollos, after Paul left, Apollos came in, and what did he do? He helped the church. He pastored the church, and he grew the church, and God grew the church through Apollos. And then what's happening in Corinth, some are saying, well, I like Paul. Some are saying, well, I like Apollos. Some are saying Paul was really good for the church, but we think Apollos was better. No, no, no. Paul was better. Apollos was not as better. So they're arguing back and forth about this. But when Paul writes to them, he says, listen, guys, I founded the church by God's grace. Apollos came in. He knocked it out of the ballpark, did an awesome job, took you to the next level. But here's what you need to know. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't Apollos. But who gave the growth? Say it with me. Who gave the growth? God gave the growth. So what he's saying is that growth is not because of a man. It's not because of anybody else. If you have your outline, growth is not caused. Here's the next one. Growth is not caused by the planter, the pastor, or the people. Growth is caused by God. Now I want you to catch that real quick. Church growth is not because of a church personality. It is not because of some dynamic preacher or a visionary leader. No, no, no. Those are great. God can use those. But growth is caused by God. What did he say? Apollos watered. Paul planted. But God gave the growth. So the question is, why does God want a church to grow? Why does God want a church to grow? And I know what you're saying. You're saying, Kenny, this is going down a road that we've been down. Let's not talk about this. We like it the way it is. I mean, why do we have to talk about growth? I mean, can't we just be comfortable? Can't we just be comfy? Can't we just get in our Jesus bubbles and hold each other's hands and sing kumbaya, and we have a small, happy little family, and everybody loves it, and we cry, and we snot, and then we go home, and we go back, and we do the same thing next Sunday, and it's the same way every Sunday. Hallelujah. You know? Why can't we do that? Let me tell you why. You ready? Sadly. You ready? Here's what happens when a church won't let God grow it. Here's what happens. I hate to report this. And I mean that from the bottom of my being very sincere. I hate to report this. But this year at our Southern Baptist Convention, They gave the report, and this year, Southern Baptist churches reported a decline in baptisms. The baptisms have declined 6 of the last 8 years from 2012, and the last lowest was in 1948. I hear that, and my heart weeps today. It breaks today. That in Kentucky alone, 70%, the Kentucky Baptist Convention tells us that 70% of our churches are declined or plateauing, that they are just not doing anything or they're losing. A guy at our last church was wonderful. I don't know where he got it at. I'm sure he got it from somewhere, but I loved what he said. He said, you know, I've always believed, is what he said, that if a church isn't going up, it's going down. See, when you stay right there in the middle, you are going to slide down is what's going to happen. There's no in the middle. You either going down or going up. It's the way it works. It's the way God's hardwired it to be. You're either going up or you're either going down. But to hear that baptisms have been the lowest that they've been since 1948. Guys, that is not a cause for rejoicing. That is a cause for weeping today. Did you know our population is more so than it's ever been in the history of the world? More so. You would think that more people would be causing to be ready to come to Christ. Well, why aren't they? You ready? Because something's wrong. Something's broken in our current modern day churches. Something is wrong. Because God wants a church to grow. Amen? He wants a church to grow. So what's the deal? We'll talk about that here in a second, why they're not. But here's the reality. When we say we don't want to grow, here's what we're saying. We're saying we could care less about the Great Commandment, and we could care less about the Great Commission. The Great Commandment says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. The Great Commission says, go into all the world and baptize them and make disciples of them, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So when we say, hey, we're good, we're fine, everything's okay the way it is, we're basically telling everybody else, you don't need Jesus. We're good. You can just die and go to hell. Boy, I know that's harsh today. I know that's harsh. But folks, let me tell you, as long as there's at least one lost person in this neighborhood, in that neighborhood over there, as long as there's at least one lost little boy or lost little girl or a lost man or a lost woman, can I tell you something? We have not arrived. As long as there's one more lost soul that's out there, we have not done anything. We are to continually preach the gospel, winning people to Jesus. I told, the reason we started Life Community was for the purpose of reaching those that didn't know Jesus. That was our purpose. We really weren't interested in getting other folks from other churches, but though God sent many to help us, and we praise the Lord for that, but our main focus was to reach those that didn't know Jesus. I'm happy to report, we just praise God, but we have baptized to date 25 people in less than a year, 26 this afternoon. And we praise the Lord for that. But as awesome as that is the work done? Is it done? Is it done? Of course not. So as long as there's work to be done, we must care about growing churches. We must care because when a church grows, it blesses the community. There's a lighthouse in the community. And we're going to talk about why churches need to grow here in a second. But here's the reality. You don't want to be part of a church that's not growing. Because if you're part of a church that's not growing, something's wrong in that situation. Something's not right. Okay, well, Kenny, why does a church need to grow? Why does a church need to grow? Let's look at our outline. First, we need to know this, that more need Christ. More need Christ. Now, if you look at some sermons, some texts that I have out there for you, some Bible passages there, I want you to just see what Acts 2:41 says. It says, so those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. A sermon's preached, 3,000 people get baptized, boom shakalaka, that's a good day. Am I right on that? That's a good day. 3,000 people at that invitation. Look at the next one. And here's another one. But many of those who heard the message believed, and number of the men came to about 5,000. So you had an initial charge of three, and then more people believe, and then it ends up being about a church of 5,000. I think that is so funny because we say, man, you get about 200 people, it's just too big. Well, you would not have liked the first century church at all. 5,000 people in the first few weeks of that church. Can you imagine that? 5,000 people in the first few weeks. Now, who gave those people to that church? Who gave them? Who gave those people? God gave those people. Now, don't forget that. It was the Lord who did this. It was God who did this. The Lord had done this. So as I read about this, what does that tell me about God's heart? What does that tell me about God's heart? Well, if you're still following along, first it tells me this, that God wants people to be saved. God wants people to be saved. Now, we really need to know that Jesus Christ died for the world. And guys, as long as the Bible says, for whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, I will believe in whosoever. I believe that God wants to save people. That's why we give invitations. That's why at the end of a sermon that we let people come forward because God might be working on their heart. That's why we do that. Hey, as long as somebody's got breath and God's dealing on them and they're willing to give their heart to Christ, God can save them. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, the Bible says. God wants to save people. I really believe that with all my heart. He wants to save people. Look what it says in this Bible verse connected to that. It says this, "This is good and pleases God our Savior," from 1 Timothy 2:3. And then verse 4 says, and read this part with me. Let's just read this. "Who wants everyone to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth?" Does God want people to be saved? Of course he does. It is ludicrous. It is nonsense. It is not scriptural to think that God doesn't want people to be saved. God wants people to be saved. But now let me throw something in there, if I can today. Let me throw something in there. God wants to use the church to accomplish this. Look what it says in Ephesians. "This is so that God's multifaceted wisdom may be now," read this part with me, may now be known, read this with me, "through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens." See, God has placed the church to be a mission outpost. It is to be that lighthouse that shines in the community. It is to be that place where the lost can come and hear about Jesus Christ. But not only are the lost coming to hear about Jesus, but we're going out to tell people about Jesus. We're beating the highways and the hedges, knocking on doors, telling people about Jesus. And the Bible intends for this evangelism, which means the sharing of good news, this evangelism to come through the church. That we are to be mobilized for missions. That we are to be doing missions here in our own neighborhood, overseas, you name it. But it's to come to the church. So God wants to save people, and he wants to use the church to accomplish that. So when we get about the heart of God, where God wants people saved, we get the heart of God too. So we begin getting antsy. Nobody's been baptized today. Nobody's been baptized in the last month. I need to get busy. I need to be knocking on doors. I need to be praying for somebody. I need to pray that somebody gives their heart to the Lord. Stats say in Davis County, you've heard this before, that 14% of Davis County, only 14% of Davis County is actively attending church. 14%. We are in the Bible Belt. There are churches on every street corner, but they're not full. They are empty. And the question is, what are we doing? How can we ever say that we're too big? How can we say that if people still need Jesus? Y'all with me today on that? As long as somebody still needs Jesus Christ, how can we be so selfish to say we're okay? We're fine. So understand that God wants the church to grow because more need Christ. But second, here's the thing here, that God wants the church to grow because more need community. More need community. Hey, did you know that this is a lonely world? Anybody with me on that? This is a lonely world. You see people all the time. And I'll tell you, listen, I'm with you on Facebook. Be my friend on Facebook. I'll be your friend. Hallelujah, okay? And I'll read all that nonsense too. But here's the deal. You ready? We have a gabillion friends on Facebook, but we don't drink coffee with nobody. We don't go out to eat with anybody. Now, we care all about the cool picture that they liked on Facebook, right? We care all about the fact that Somebody's eating a donut at Starbucks and they checked in. That's just so cool. I like that. That's cool. But we won't eat the donut or drink the coffee with them. We'd rather live our lives through Facebook, watching people do whatever and why they post it. Lord knows, okay? I really don't care if you're eating a donut on Facebook, okay? But here's my point. We are lonely people. But look at this, Acts 2, 41 through 42. It says this, and we read this a few minutes ago, that people who heard the message were baptized. They were added to the number. But look at the next verse. And it says this, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. When they accepted the Lord Jesus and they became part of the church, when that happened, it wasn't the end. It was just the beginning. And they began to get involved and they began to do stuff. Look what they did. They accepted the message. They were baptized. They were added to the number. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. They were actively involved. So when they got saved and the Lord saved them and they were baptized, they now became part of the church. And they were doing stuff together. They became a family. And a lot of people want to say, well, Kenny, if there's 5,000 people in that church, how did they know everybody? Hold on to your socks. You ready? They didn't. They didn't. But Kenny, you're supposed to know everybody at church. Okay, then let me just randomly call on somebody to identify somebody else in this room. Y'all good with that today? No, you're not good with that today. You're not good with that today. Here's the reality. You will probably in your life have at any given time, if you're blessed, about 3 to 2 close friends with you for your life. That's it. So to think that you have to know every single person in a church is kind of mind-numbing. That's not going to happen, okay? But here's what can happen. You can know everybody in your life group. You know, some churches, they call it Sunday school. We call it life group. When we meet in homes, we get to know each other. And you know what? You'll see each other. You'll get acquainted with each other at church. But you begin to know each other and do life with each other when you're in a group together. Understand that it's very important. Let me tell you that here in a second. But groups are very, very important. But I want to tell you this real quick. Can I give you a warning? When a church grows, something happens. Biblically, something happens. Complaints will come when a church grows. Now, how can I say that? Because I use the Bible and I preach the Bible. You ready? Look what the Bible says in Acts 6:1. In those days, as the numbers of the disciples were multiplying, there arose a what? Say it with me. And you think, okay, why are they complaining? There's 5,000 people that got saved. 5,000 people. This is amazing. People are baptized. They are in groups together. They're taking the Lord's Supper together. They're praying for each other and worshiping God together. Why in the world are they complaining? Well, if you read the rest of that story, it tells you why. Because one group said, I'm getting overlooked. I'm getting overlooked. That is one of the, and that today is still one of the biggest complaints that we get in churches that begin to grow. I'm being overlooked. I'm being overlooked. I'm being overlooked. Hey, guys, I want to tell you something. I love you. I love you. But it's not about you today. It's about Jesus Christ. Y'all with me on that? It's not a me church. It's a God church. It's not a Kenny Rager church. It's not a Daniel church. It's not a Mark church. It's not a Lanisa church. This is a God church. This is a Jesus church. But understand that complaints will arise. Let me tell you something. You ready? I don't know everybody. I love this one. Well, God's not concerned about numbers, Kenny. God's not concerned about numbers. Then why did he write a book in the Bible called Numbers? Think about that for a second. There's a book in the Bible called Numbers. And you know what's in it? Numbers of people. See, God is concerned about numbers. Why? Because a number stands for what? A person. And God loves a person. Did you know that today? He loves mass numbers of people. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to be saved. I love this complaint. This is a disorganized mess because we're growing. If you're at Life Community, go ahead and say it. I know you want to. Amen. Amen. We got cables everywhere. Tubs don't get filled properly. Everything's nuts. I mean, this is crazy. We unload it out of a trailer every Sunday. The sound equipment doesn't work. I mean, golly, just throwing the towel. This is nutty, buddy. This is crazy, man. I'm done with this. But it's kind of like this. When you grow as a person, everybody here goes through this really awkward stage called puberty. And we just want to blot that out of our minds, amen? When that happened to me, my voice began to change. And my mother and my grandmother thought that I had developed like chronic strep throat or something. I don't know why his throat's so deep. My grandpa used to say, he's a man, that's why. You know, that's what he used to say. And it was like overnight, I'd be like, hey, how you doing? And hey, how you doing? You know, that's how it worked with me. I mean, it's just how it worked. And it was awkward. It was weird. And you guys will relate. You get that really weird mustache. Y'all with me? That you're not quite ready to shave yet. And it just looked, you know what I mean? You know, just nasty time. Nasty time. Well, let me tell you something. As a church grows, you're going to hit your puberty stage in a church. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. A disorganized mess. But hold on to your socks. God's taking us somewhere. Amen? Just because it looks like this today, it's not going to look like this tomorrow. We're learning, we're growing every step along the road. Honestly, a church will happen. But here's what I've learned. Most of those complaints and those problems can be resolved in one of two ways. If you're actively in a group and if you're serving. I really believe that with all my heart. If you are actively involved in a group and you are actively serving in a church, those complaints won't be as stingy to you as they used to be. Why? Because you're involved and God's doing something. So two things real quick on your notes. We need to grow larger and smaller. We need to keep reaching people, but we need to keep having groups where we can know each other. Where in those groups we get together, we can fellowship with each other. You may not know everybody in the church, but you can know four or five good friends in a group. But second, we need to be in groups, period. We just need to be in them. What I love about our campaign is that we're trying not just to say, look at this great crowd, 200 people at the end. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to build a healthy system of where we're connecting to reach out to more people. Are y'all with me on this today? But why is the group part important? Because we don't want them to fall by the wayside. We want them to know that we love them, to know that we care for them. We want community to be fostered. We want people to be close to each other. And I promise you, that can happen. If you are a church of 50 or 5,000, that can happen if you just let yourself get close to somebody. Y'all with me on that today? Y'all with me? Third, why does God want a church to grow? Because more need to carry out the charge. There's more people that need to carry out the charge. I love this verse talking about it. It says, so the preaching about God in Acts 6:7, the preaching about God flourished. The number of disciples in Jerusalem multiplied greatly. And a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. I love that that's in there. Because as the church was growing and they were going out, they were a mobilized mission force. They were preaching, they were teaching. Boy, they were burning it up. They were telling people about Jesus. People were getting saved. And the Bible particularly says that the priest began to get saved. Now, I want to tell you something about that. The priests in that time period were stuck in the old ways. They were stuck in the old religion. And when Jesus came along, they didn't want anything to do with Jesus. Jesus freaked them out. But now they were the hardest bunch of people to reach. And what was happening? They too were getting saved. The hardest of the hard were giving their life to Jesus. You know what's really cool about a church that grows? God will give resources and more people will be equipped, more people will be discipled, more people will be trained to go into the lost world to make an impact for the gospel. As that is happening, some of the hardest people to reach will be reached. Why is that? Let me tell you why. Because Kenny Rager will only relate to so many people. But you might relate to an entirely different group of people. You might be able to connect with people that I would never have a chance to connect with, ever have a chance to connect with. I will connect with people that you'll never be able to connect with. But when we're together and we're on mission for Jesus Christ, and we are preaching and teaching and winning people to Christ in the name of Jesus and through His Spirit and by His power, when that happens, the mission is multiplied, baby. It is happening. God is moving. It is on. It is unleashed. Unleashed. I can see as our church grows, and you know my heart, that we want to be a church planting church. We want to send out other churches. We want to send out church planters. We want to send out missionaries. We want to go on mission. We want to go and see God do great things. And my hope and prayer is that as we grow, guess what? We can do more missions. We can love on more people. We can do more ministry. We can do, it ain't about us. It's about loving God and loving people. That's what it's about. So if God wants a church to grow because more need Christ, more need community, more need to carry out the charge, and the charge is to preach the gospel, here's my question. Here's how we end it. What stops a church from growing? If it's God who gives the growth, God wants people to be saved, He wants them in community, and He wants to multiply just more people to be together and unified and going out together, what stops a church from doing this? If it's God who does this, why are churches plateaued? Why are they declined? Why is this last year the lowest it's ever been for baptizing people? Why? What stops a church from growing? Are you ready? Go ahead, Eric. We do. We do. Because we're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. We're selfish. We're prideful. We're arrogant. We like it the way it's always been. But that ain't the way God has made the world to function. It constantly changes. It constantly moves. It constantly grows. Today, my prayer is that you will get moving with God. That if you find yourself, and I'm talking to life community people here, because we have already, it's not even been a year yet, we have seen crazy changes at this church in less than a year. Is that fair to say, life community people? Crazy change, and it's not even been a year yet. I dare say the next year it'll look totally different than what it does now. It's not going to be the same. But we don't want it to be the same, do we? We want it to be what God wants it to be. Because every person that accepts Jesus and comes and becomes part of our church, they bring something new to the table, and it looks different. And that's the way God works. That's the way He ministers. Today we need to get in tune with God. Maybe we need to repent of bad attitudes towards growth. Maybe we need to begin rejoicing that God has saved us. I think when you get happy of the fact that you're saved and you're going to heaven, when you get happy that you're going to heaven, you'll want other people to go to heaven too. Is that fair to say? Some of y'all don't want people to get saved because you don't know how good it is that you got it, man, that He's in your heart. Maybe you need to get saved. That might be your problem. Let's call it as it is. You might need to get saved if you're not happy when people get saved. We need to, as a church, hear me on this. You know, maybe it's really comfortable to come in and just kind of sit there. And I'm talking to life community people, life community, those who've united with our church. It's really comfortable to sit there, but you can't do that. You got to go to folks that aren't life community people, love on them, shake their hands. I mean, don't get into the weird, you know, up in your face comfort zone. Don't do that, all right? Especially if you've been drinking coffee, stay away, all right? But you could touch them on the shoulder, tell them you're glad they're here, love on them. Be a loving, welcoming church. Get them in your group. Wrap your arms around, tell them you love them, and pray for them. We need to repent of these. And as it all boils down, let me take it to the cross real quick. I know that the Bible teaches us that God loves people. So as I talk about a growing church, it's not about life community getting to a certain size for us to be the next big thing, for us to be the next coolest thing. That's not what we're about. We're reaching lost people. We're trying to reach people that don't know Jesus. Wherever they are. Wherever they are. And maybe today you're here and you don't know Christ. Say, Kenny, if I was to die, I don't know where I'm going. I'd split hell wide open, baby. I would. I'd split it wide open. I need forgiveness of my sins, and I need Jesus Christ in my heart. My friend, I would encourage you today to understand that God wants that for you too. The reason that God wants a church to grow is because He wants people to be saved. Don't forget that. So that means He wants you to be saved. He wants you to come to Him. If today you don't know Jesus, I would encourage you to give your life to Christ. To say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. I believe You love me. Come into my life and save me. He won't turn you away. He will not, because He loves you. And He wants to see you grow. He wants to see you grow. Father, we love You. And we thank You for Jesus. And God, in this time right now, how we pray to just get on board with You. And God, we ask You to help our church to become what You want it to be. God, for us to be ready for the campaign when it starts, but also, Lord, ready to go across the street and tell our neighbor about Jesus. And Father, may we not get cold towards people or You, but may we seek Your face. God, we love You so very much. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us when we stop Your work. Forgive us from when we hinder Your work. So, Lord, we ask You today, if there's someone here that doesn't know You, Lord, I pray they'll come forward and give their life to You today. God, I pray if someone needs to unite with this church, they'll come forward and You'll do a great work in their life. So, Father, we love You. We pray this in Your mighty name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If God's dealing with you, would you come forward? You can come pray. You need to talk with me, make a decision.